turn in the Word of God to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs 8. We looked at that last week as well, the first half. We'll look at the second half this week. That's on page 445 in your Pew Bible, if you're wanting to follow along with the reading. I'll start reading at verse 12 and read to the end of verse 36. Hear God's word. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of the righteous in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limits so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Now therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. And here ends the reading from God's holy and inspired word. Now this evening I want to meditate with you some on this question that is in the bulletin: who is wisdom? And we see that this is the second part of this sermon, or the second part of this chapter. We looked at the beginning of Proverbs chapter 8, and in that we asked the question, who is wisdom? And we began with a description, you remember, of Lady Wisdom. Lady Wisdom is there and she's crying out in the streets. And as she's crying out in the streets, she's calling on the sons of men to come to her and to live. And we see that the parallels between Lady Wisdom crying or yelling out and speaking good news, the parallels between her and the Lord Jesus Christ are there in Proverbs 8. And if you heard that portion of the text and you went home thinking, Pastor Nathan definitely loves Jesus, he sees Jesus under every rock in the Bible, here's a lady crying out in wisdom, and Jesus, he says, is there. We remember that wisdom is also an attribute of God, something that flows from the person of God, something that makes up God. And we see also that Christ in the New Testament, and we looked at this, Christ is the wisdom of God. So as wisdom is put forward in Proverbs chapter 8, and we say that Lady Wisdom cries out and she parallels with Jesus, and wisdom is an attribute of God, we see this as something that is divine, and Christ in the New Testament is called the wisdom of God. We could say, therefore, Jesus is wisdom. And we could have that syllogism, and we could leave it there, but you might remember that I said last week that when we look at Proverbs 8 and we look at the history of biblical interpretation, Proverbs 8, for the ancient church, that early parts of the church after the apostles through, let's say, about 800 or 900 before the early Middle Ages, Proverbs chapter 8 was the most important chapter in all of the Bible for showing that Jesus Christ is God. And we see that here today. We see why Proverbs 8 and what we have read, verses 12 through 36, we see why those that look at the Word of God and compare this proverb with the New Testament, they see all of the riches of Christ unfolded here for us. We're going to look at that briefly. I want to begin, and we're going to look at it in big portions. There's literally dozens of PhD dissertations written on 12 to 36 on the Christology of these verses. But we're going to give such a broad overview. But if this is your area where you're like, I love what Pastor Nathan said, and I'm going to deep dive, and this is going to be my next year of study, I can give you a year's worth of study if you want to move in that direction. But we're going to look at this at a bird's eye view. Verses 12 through 21, we're going to call the expanse of Christ's wisdom. The expanse of Christ's wisdom. It says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine, sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles and all the judges of the earth. I love those that love me, and those that seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, better than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of the righteous in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. So we look at this section, and what we could do is we could literally write each of these verses out in these descriptions. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings rule. By me, nobles seek justice. By me is riches and honor. By me, there is better than silver. We could write out all of those lists, and we could find New Testament parallels to the person of Jesus Christ. This sounds like a description of the work of Christ, that expanse of his work. You see, wisdom loves and blesses those that seek her. That's why Solomon, you remember, as a young man, and God says, what would you like? Do you want wisdom or do you want riches? And Solomon says, give me wisdom. He understood that by seeking wisdom, the blessings of that come upon us. And wisdom is something that that ensures blessing in this life. It's something that affects our vocations, our work, it affects our families, it affects our finances, it affects our relationships, and it affects, in the long run, our heavenly inheritance. And friends, as we say to seek wisdom, I'm not talking about going to Panda Express and cracking open a cookie, or I'm not talking about going to Barnes & Noble and looking through a Zen section of the bookstore. I'm saying that wisdom in the Word of God drives you to Jesus Christ and to get to know the person of Jesus Christ. And to know that when you seek Jesus Christ, the expanse of that wisdom of Christ will be poured out upon you, and your life will begin to reflect this in some way. I remember several years ago coming into the pulpit in Los Angeles, and the way Los Angeles's church was set up is there's a door here, and I know there used to be a door here, right? And the pastor opens the door, and well, it's kind of off the side, and comes to the pulpit, and you see the congregation for the first time from the front rather than from the back. And I remember coming out that door and looking out in the congregation, and everyone is looking pretty normal. And then right about here, like in front of where John and Diane are, there's a couple, and they're dressed in all black, both of them, and there's piercings all over their face, and the guy has a big, long beard with like a man bun in the beard, and they just looked out of place. We went through worship. They're singing. They're excited. All of these great things as they're participating, but in my mind, they're spotted just because they stand out, and I did not know them. And after worship, went up and talked to them, and found out that in the story there was a backsliding and they had just come back to Christ as brand new Christians, and they were willing and ready to submit to the session and just say, disciple us, just do whatever needs to be done. And as we looked into their life, the mortgage hadn't been paid in months. They were behind on all sorts of bills. There was a mess of a life that they'd lived in the last several years. And they just said, we need Jesus Christ. And over the years, we saw all of these things, ways that wisdom improved things like their finances and the way that they ate and took care of themselves and the things they put into their bodies. And all of these things affected because they were willing to say, we need the wisdom of Jesus Christ. And friends, that expanse of wisdom is available to you and to me. All of that that we see here in the text. Wisdom offers great treasure to those that seek it. Jesus Christ will make you spiritually rich. You'll say, well, what's that going to cost me? Jesus says, deny yourself. Take up the cross and follow me. He calls on you to put yourself to death and to stand and to follow Christ. We see that all through the New Testament. 1 Peter 1:4-5, you have an unfading inheritance in Christ. Matthew 6:19-20. Do not lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, but lay up treasures in heaven. Revelation 3:18, I counsel you to buy gold from me so that you may become rich. See, the expanse of the wisdom of Christ is here before us and offered to each one of you. One commentator said, wisdom is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It is Christ in the Word and Christ in the heart. Not only Christ revealed to us, but Christ revealed in us. It is in the Word of God, the whole compass of divine revelation, It is God, the Word, in whom all divine revelation centers. It is the soul formed by the Word. It is Christ formed in the soul. It is purity and power of Christian religion. Glorious things are spoken of this excellent person, this excellent thing. This is your Christ. And friends, he is offered to you in expanse. But we see, secondly, verses 22 through 31. 22 through 31, we'll call that the eternality of Christ's wisdom. So there's this great expanse of wisdom that's offered to you, and there's these treasures and riches and wisdom and all of these things offered, and you say, well, Pastor Nathan, how long is it going to last? How long can those things last? I may pursue those things, but those things will burn out, and I will just continue on in life. As the old song from the 70s says, after the thrill is gone. What do we do? What we see is that wisdom of the person of Christ and those riches that are poured out upon you, these are things that belong unto Jesus eternally, the eternality of Christ's wisdom. It says that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. The Lord possess me at the beginning of his ways, before his works of old. I've been established from everlasting, before the beginning, before there was ever an earth, when there was no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no fountains, when the mountains were not settled, before the hills, when there was no earth or fields or primal dusts, before the heaven was prepared, before the clouds, before he strengthened the fountains of the waters, before he assigned the sea its limits. In verse 30, then I was beside him as a master craftsman. So either there is some other being in the universe that is co-eternal with God, because this says before the beginning, before anything was created, I was there. So the options are that there is this other eternal being that is co-eternal with God, or this wisdom of God is who is revealed in the New Testament as Jesus Christ. Friends, Jesus Christ as the second person of the Trinity is there before there's anything. You can look around before the palm trees, before the bougainvillea, before all of these things, before the mountains, before the sea. I love the phrase, before the primal dust. Before all of these things, Christ is there before God, the Father, and you'll notice what he has with the Father is perfect fellowship. I was his daily delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing and delighting. This is the relationship, the eternal relationship of the Trinity before the world is created. I remember when my oldest daughter was really little and we were into the phase where you're buying Christian books, little board books for your kids. And some of these books on creation will talk about how God is lonely, so he creates humanity. It's wrong. God has never been lonely. God has eternal rejoicing with the Son, eternal delight in the Son. Friends, those of you with children, think on the days when they were little and you would look upon them and your soul was filled with delight. whatever that is, magnify that to a divine, sinless, eternal delight and pleasure. And that is the relationship between the Father and the Son in eternity. And what the Father equips the Son to do is by His Word, because Jesus is the Word, by His Word, speak the world into existence. Think of that. Just let that be your meditation. That God the Father says to His Son in eternity, before any of you were even a plan, in eternity past, God the Father, in His delight and rejoicing in the Son, in a sense, hands the Son the tools and says, I love you. Now go be that master craftsman. And Genesis tells us that God speaks. That is Christ. That is Christ speaking the world into existence. I told you that we can deep dive into the church history here, but let me just give you one little tidbit here. Richard Muller, he's a very famous historical theologian. He writes a big fat set called Post-Reformation Dogmatics. And in that Post-Reformation Dogmatics, he said that the Orthodox teach that Proverbs 8:23 does indeed refer to the second person of the Trinity under the name of wisdom, and that the text does in fact indicate that the divine wisdom is begotten from everlasting. That's our ancient language that is creedal that we've come up with. And then he goes on. He says, Solomon clearly intended to refer to the wisdom of God, although the text does not specify the phrase, the meaning ought to be obvious. This wisdom was God in the beginning of His way before the works of old, which is affirmed much in the same way that Christ as the divine word of John 1:1. What is said of wisdom in Proverbs 8 cannot be said of anyone other than the second person of the Trinity. And Christ is called the wisdom of God in Scripture, not only in the expression of the word, but the word, and so He is called wisdom absolutely and simply. Friends, this points us clearly to the Lord Jesus Christ. We could look at Luke 11, where Jesus calls Himself the wisdom of God. We could look at Matthew 23, where He calls Himself the wisdom of God. We could look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where Paul calls Him the wisdom of God. And this alone should prove that Jesus Christ, who is wisdom personified, is eternal. That Christ's divinity, that Jesus is God, He's not merely a good teacher or a good man. He is God. And friends, that means He has not only riches to offer, as we saw in the first part, but He has a demand on our lives as well. And I want briefly to look at verses 32 through 36, which we'll call the application of Christ's wisdom. Now therefore, listen to me, my children. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Do not disdain it. Blessed is the man that listens to me, watching daily at my gates and waiting at the posts of my doors. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord, but he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. Those that hate me love death. So we see several applications. We see blessing to those that keep His ways. We see the contrast in verse 33 between those that gain wisdom and those that despise wisdom. We should hold on to Christ, knowing that He provides life and He gives us life. And then there's all of these blessings. Verse 34, listening to Christ. And verse again in verse 34, applying Christ to all of our life. And verse 35, finding life and obtaining favor. Friends, we see that when we cling to Christ and we hold on to the person and work of Jesus Christ, it's not just ticking a box saying, I was once not saved and now I am saved, or I was once going to hell and now I'm going to heaven. It is so much deeper than that. It is holding on to Jesus Christ and applying that wisdom of Christ to all of our lives. You see, Jesus said that our eternal life begins now. Do you want to gain wisdom? Do you want life? Are you sick of death? Are you sick of sinning against your own soul? This proverb, looking ahead to Jesus, would tell you to find the application of Christ's wisdom and cling to Him, to hold on to Jesus Christ, because He is the wisdom of God. Pursue Him and let that wisdom be seen in your life. And since Jesus is the one here who is eternal, the one who is the second person of the Trinity, pursue Him who is able to save. For this Christ offers Himself to you. May He be glorified, and may you find both rejoicing and delight in meditating on who He is, that same rejoicing and delight that the Father has with the Son. Amen. Lord, we thank You for this proverb tucked away in a book that many read from month to month. Help us, O Lord, to pursue Jesus Christ and to find great satisfaction in life. Amen.